We've been in a long study of Romans here at the church. If you're just joining us, that's wonderful. We love to study the Bible and books of the Bible. So we're in Romans chapter 15, the second half of it, starting in verse 14. There's Bibles there in front of you if you don't have one. You can use a digital Bible, a paper Bible. We just want God's Word speaking to us. And this part of the letter, a lot of times the ends of these letters, the end of Romans, a lot of the ends of these letters in the Bible have lots of details that you think, yeah, boring, don't care, who needs to know about that? Now, maybe you don't read the Bible that way, but maybe some of you, you get to the end, you're like, yeah, I don't know all these names. Anybody get there? And you're like, okay, speed up. Who needs this, right? We get like travel details. Travel details. You decide, would you like to hear about someone's travel details or have a root canal? Some of you are like, I don't care about your trip, right? I don't care about your stop. I don't care about the giant ball of string. It just doesn't matter to me, right? It can feel like that at the end of some of these New Testament letters. They're actual letters. They're letters to churches, to people in real places, and you kind of get details. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to say there, and so we go, is there anything in here for us? Should we just speed to the end of it? And what we're going to see in some of these travel details and final thoughts, you actually can learn a lot about a person. And what we're going to learn is what matters most to them, what matters most to Paul, what's important. And travel details can tell you that. So I'll just give you some of these for fun. We can learn about what's important to people by how they travel. So you can see where you fit in there. So some people, if you're setting out on a road trip, you're like, I'm getting up early, and I'm going to get on the biggest, fastest freeway that exists, and I'm going to get there now, right? I'm efficient, right? This is what matters most to you is time, efficiency, speed. I don't know where that speed limit really exists. It's probably like nowhere, Texas or something, but, right? So some are like, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there fast, get out of my way, left lane only. And others are like, you know, I'm going to take the back road. I want to see every ghost town that exists. I want to stop into little middle-of-nowhere museums, right, and read about the wagon train. Are any of you that? Like, just give me the slow boat, and your children hate you probably. But just kidding, right? You just, I want to take it in. There's no hurry. I want to, so for you, would value history and value the journey, right? And others value getting there and the destination. And so you can learn about that. You can learn about how someone flies. Someone, give me the cheapest flight, red eye. I don't care. I'll sleep on the floor. I'll fly overnight, right? I just want to get there on a bargain. Like, so give me the cheapest flight. And then others are like, no. I fly in luxury, right? I don't want to be inconvenienced when I'm traveling, right? Middle of the day. I don't know if that plane really exists, but that looks pretty nice. Right, so right, you see some differences there. Some are like, cheap bargain, get me there, I don't care the hours. Others are like, it's going to be enjoyable. I'm going to enjoy this experience. Some on vacation are like, you know what, I want a beach, I want a book, I'm going to put my feet up, I'm just going to relax, right? This is one of my phrases that my wife teases me about. She said, I'm not lazy, I just enjoy doing nothing. I can do nothing. I'm very comfortable with that. So some of you are like, yeah, I don't want to do anything. I want to put my feet up. I want to read a good book. Life is good. Others are like, no, we're going to get it all in on this trip, right? Rafting, biking, skydiving, hiking, no sleeping. We're up at 5 a.m. and hitting the trail, right? Or some of you that like, let's go. We got to pack it in. We got to get adrenaline, right? There's differences, right? But you can learn a lot. What's important to somebody? Rest, relaxation, adventure, right? We did a road trip this last spring. We went down to see Disneyland with the kids. We drove our little teeny older Prius, and we hit as many times as we could In-N-Out Burger. Because for $35, we could all eat, and I wanted a bargain. So we went on a trip, but we were on the budget trip and the budget hotel and the budget car and the budget dinner, right? You try going $35 somewhere and getting enough food, so you can kind of see some of our priorities. We wanted to go, but we're on a budget. So that's kind of what we're seeing here, some travel plans. Paul's telling, this is where I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I've been. We're going to get some of that here in the end of chapter 15 and into 16. But they're not just details that you can go, yeah, don't care. They are giving us a picture of who he is. So he says, who I am and what matters most, right? What matters to Paul, he records and talks about for us here. He shares with us what's important to him. What are your values? And so you can see that in how someone's going to move in some of their details. So we're going to see that today, and we're going to see Paul's values. What matters to him? What's important to him? What does he care about? So I'm going to first read the chunk here from 14 to the end of the chapter, and then come back and we'll just see a bunch of them emerge today. So Romans 15, verse 14, he says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of God, of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So we hear a lot of those things in there. Who I am, if we're going to see who am I, he's going to describe who he is, how he views himself, and what matters most, right? And all these details, coming, going, giving, doing these things, it kind of comes out. What's important to Paul? And so this is going to be a little bit less. A lot of times in the sermon, I'll give you right up front, here's my outline, here's the 3 points. I'm just going to give them to you as they come. It's either going to tell us who he is or what matters most. So we're just going to give them to you as you go. And so just keep looking for that. I'll show it to you. What matters most? What's in his heart? What's in his heart? And so the first little part here is, why does he even write this section at all? Why does he even bother to write this there? And what we have to remember is Paul hasn't been here. Okay, many of the New Testament letters you read, if you read Colossians, if you read Ephesians, if you read Galatians, those are places he's been and churches he's started. So he knows the people. So, right, when I was there among you and we started the church like this, and this is how it happened. And so he's writing to people he knows in a church he's planted. He's not been here. Right? Notice he kept saying that at the end. I hope to get there. So someone else started this church. Someone else got it going. He's not been there. So he's been writing them these letters. He's written them this letter, and he's explained the gospel. But then the last few chapters we've seen, he's been telling them some things. Like, hey, the strong have to help the weak, and we can't be fighting with one another and bothering one another. We've got to help. Right, so he said, I've been writing these things to you, but I don't know if you've ever had this. Someone who you don't know and who isn't your leader starts telling you what to do. You might be like, wait. Who are you again? Why are you telling me that? So there's a little bit of that in here. He's been saying, he's telling them, like, I haven't been there. I know I haven't been there. I've written strongly, but I just want to remind you that I'm still going to come. But he hasn't been yet. So he says there, I'm satisfied about you. Right? He's been talking to us the last few weeks about the strong helping the weak and not fighting with one another and looking out for one another. But then he says, I'm not worried you're just going to fail and fall apart and it's all going to die. Right? He says, you guys are filled with goodness and knowledge. You are able to instruct one another. He says, but on some points I've written to you very boldly, right? I've been very strong, even though you don't know me and I haven't been there, just to remind you. I just wanted to remind you. And that's a lot of what the whole thing of the church is about, reminding one another. You see that there by way of reminder. Any of you forget things? Any of you in the course of a week forget what's important, forget what matters, forget what you prayed a week ago? Okay, God, I'm really going to do that this week, and then you come this, what was that thing I prayed? It's gone. We got to remind each other, right? What matters is reminding of what's important. That's why we come every week to study the Word. So Paul says, the only reason I'm writing this to you is not to boss you, not to lord it over you, not because I doubt you. I just want to remind you. So it's what matters most. It's why we come together. We're making the Bible clear. We need to be constantly reminded of the truth of God's Word, what's important, what's real, what's the true reality. How does God see these things? He says, I'm not writing to you because I doubt you. We don't gather because we think we're all going to fail all week long. We just need to be constantly reminded of the truth. So that's the first one. It's just what matters most is being reminded about what's important. So he goes on, verse 15, I've written you boldly because of the grace given me by God. Just always love that Paul doesn't view his assignment from God as a horrible burden. God made me go tell people about Jesus and plant churches all around the world. He doesn't view it that way. He views it as a grace that God is willing to allow me to serve him. And he goes on to say, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. So this, he uses a very strange, or not strange, but he uses an illustration here of himself being a priest. The word there, minister, is the idea. It's not where we get our word deacon. It's someone that specifically is a temple servant or minister. And then he says, in the priestly service of the gospel, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable. Now, this is not something we have a lot of familiarity with. Maybe you have a Catholic background, the word priest comes up. If you're in the Protestant or evangelical tradition like this, we don't even use the word priest. But priests are go-betweens. A priest ministers on behalf of God to the people and behalf of people back to God. They're go-betweens, and temples were meeting places in sacred space. So Israel had a temple, and God's presence would come down, but you don't just stroll into God's presence. He's holy, and so there was mediation that had to take place. Right? There was offerings and cleansing so that unholy people could come into the presence of a holy God, and so that a holy God could stand the presence of unholy people. The priests were the go-between. They were the ministers. They allowed this to happen. And he says, that's how I view myself, as a minister that allows people to connect to God. He says, I'm a ministering servant so that people can come to God. And he says, I'm offering the Gentiles. The Gentiles are all of us non-Jews. That can be a little bit alarming because a lot of what the priest offers was animals and burnt them on a sacrifice. He's like, wait, are you taking this massive group of people, the Gentiles? And why the imagery of offering them? But not every offering was burned, so don't worry. Some were just poured out. But I think, you know, you compress an image too far. He's not offering people to burn them. He's just taking people who would otherwise be unable to become into God's presence, sharing the gospel with them, which is what cleanses us, the blood of Jesus, trusting it by faith. We're cleansed by faith and therefore can approach a holy God. So that's the priestly work. It was the priestly work of the Lord Jesus to be the offering to cleanse us. And Paul says, I view myself as a minister by the grace of God, bringing people into God's presence by sharing the gospel with them. He says, who am I? He says, I am a ministering priest by God's grace. I mean, I'm here to serve and to help people who would otherwise not have access to God come to God. So that's who he sees himself, a ministering priest. And we need to see ourselves that way. Followers of Jesus, he says this in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. So when you come to Christ, you're chosen by God, you're called a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are ministering priests. We are ministering. We are offering to our community and our neighbors. We're saying you can approach a holy God through the grace of Jesus. And so we're serving, right? The priests served in the temple. We're serving in this community. It's part of what's behind the community toy store. We want all kinds of people from our community to walk through this building and recognize God loves them and God's people are here to serve. Right? It's why we would prayer walk the neighborhood. It's why we do all the outreach we do. We're ministering priests by God's grace, so that people who cannot approach a holy God can approach through Christ. So that's why we do a lot of those things. All right, let's keep going. He says, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. Paul travels the world. People come to Christ all the time. He's planted churches all over the world. He says, so in Christ, I have reason to be proud. It's working. People are coming to Christ. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. So when he's talking about, he's excited about his ministry, excited about what God is doing, but what does he quickly say? What matters most is that Christ gets the credit, not him. He says, I have reason to be proud because it's happening, but it's all because he's doing it, not me. And so that's, we want to always remember, there's nothing we can do. I'm really, really proud right now of the students, our young people in this church. I just did kind of an impromptu set in with some of our high schoolers and did a little Bible study. They're digging in and they're telling me their things they did this week to be thankful to the Lord and write it down. I was like, this is awesome. You come to Awana, we've got high school students leading the Awana games. We've got middle school and high school students volunteering in our preschool area right now. And it's be excited to be like, yep, look, we did that. We raised up. No. The Lord Jesus is doing that. We just get to be part of it, right? We just get to be a part of it. Jesus said this in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So as Paul was close to the Lord Jesus Christ, fruit was coming out of his life. As we move close to the Lord Jesus Christ, clinging to him, praying to him, worshiping him, he begins to put us in situations and opportunities to bear fruit. But he gets the credit. It's not about us. Look what we did. Look what I did. It's all about Christ. Okay, so that's what matters most. We're going to keep moving on them fast here. Romans, we're in verses 18 and 19. So he says, I won't boast about anything except what Christ has done. And then he gives some how it's done. By word and deed. By the power of signs and wonders. So he's saying the reason that people come to obedience, and notice that he says that he's accomplished by bringing the Gentiles to obedience. I think that's important that we grab that word, obedience. Not just an empty faith, but an actual obedience. Because it can be easy to say, somewhere back there, I prayed some prayer and believed in Jesus. Somewhere, it means nothing. I'm not abiding in the vine. I'm not hanging on. Just, it's back there. But the image of this is obedience, discipleship, following Jesus. That's that image. I'm actually living for him. He says, that's what we're looking for, people who devote their lives to the Lord Jesus and bring them to obedience by word and deed. So he's saying, I'm always preaching the word, and I'm always living out the word. I'm doing things that go with it. We get this window in Acts chapter 20. Paul's getting ready to go on this trip that we're reading about here with him going back to Jerusalem. And he's talking to one of the churches. He's talking to the Ephesian church, and he's telling them how he lived among them. So in Acts 20, verse 32, he says, "And now I commend you to God." He's not going to see them again, right? So he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So first is you need God's word. God's word's what's going to build you up. And then he said, "I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me." Paul had a trade. He was a tent maker by trade. So everywhere he went, he set up a little shop and he had a business. And he had business hours and he worked and he did things and he planted the churches. So he says, "You guys know what job I was doing." He says, "In all these things I've shown you that by working hard in this way," notice he doesn't say we must support ourselves. "We must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It's interesting. He didn't say, "I worked really hard and paid my own way so that I could just pay my own way." He said, "I wanted to have something to contribute and help. I wanted to help the weak. I wanted to give to the poor. I wanted to have something to offer, and so I worked to do that." And so when he's talking about, "I announced to you the gospel and I preached to you the word, but I also did it in deed. You saw how I lived. I had integrity. I was kind. I put my money where my mouth is," literally. "If I said I cared about the poor, I gave to the poor." And so we see that's, he's saying, that's how I brought the gospel. It actually showed up not just in my talk, but in my action. And then, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. This makes some people kind of squirmy. Do we pray for that? Do we not pray for that? Is that something that was back in those days and we don't ask for that? And I think we continually do the part we can do. We can teach the word. We can do deeds. And we pray and we ask for the power of God to show up in signs and wonders in his power. We don't wield that. I don't walk around and start laser finger, heal, get up out of your hospital bed. We don't do that. But we definitely pray and ask for the Lord Jesus to work. We had a church member bring a family member into our prayer meeting a few months ago. And this family had a number of serious medical problems. And they had a son, a teenage son, that had some neck problems, very odd for his age, and he was very discouraged and a lot of pain, couldn't do the sports he loved. He was just really discouraged. And so they came in. They don't know Jesus. And we just said, "Come on into our prayer meeting." We laid hands on them. We prayed over them. And just on our whole prayer, "God, you show up so that you can do something so that your name is glorified, not ours." And I did get some word back that the young one, the high school one's neck has gotten better and he was cleared for sports. And so we're praising the Lord. And so the prayer now is, would they realize that it was Jesus who did that? Would that tick something into their brain? Going, okay, these people prayed for me in Jesus' name and then some things have happened. So that's what I think we're talking about here. We're not talking about crazy Benny Hinn pushing people over by their forehead signs and wonders. We're just talking about praying that when we're ministering in word and deed, that the power of God would move in such a way that people would go, the only reason that things are happening is God's doing something. He's doing this in places like Iran. One of the fastest growing churches in our world is in Iran, a closed, hardcore Islamic country. And God just gives people visions. Like, "I've got to go find the man in white. Those have this vision of Jesus. I got to figure this out." And they'll seek out a Christian or seek out the word of God. He's doing it, right? So this whole outreach, this whole ministry that we want to be a part of, what matters most to Paul is the word is taught, deeds go with it, and the power of the Holy Spirit shows up. It's like, that's what matters most. It's not just the word. It's not just the deeds. It's not just the Holy Spirit. He says he gets all of them. It's all of it together. And so we see that's what matters most. That's important to ministry, that we're teaching it, we're living it out, and we're praying and asking for God to come. And it's an ask. That's where we would draw the line. We don't tell God what to do. We don't declare what he's about to do. We don't insist what he does. We ask, "Would you please? Would you show up?" And it's up to him. So that's what matters most. All right, we'll keep going. We see more about his heart here. So now we get into some of these places and names, right? It says, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I'm going to show you a map in a minute, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. That's a pretty big statement to say, I've actually done it. I've fulfilled it. I've gone there. He says, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. So he's saying, I intentionally seek out unreached people groups, which is what we're talking about supporting with our Timothy initiative. There's still unreached people groups. He says, I'm trying to find places that haven't heard anything. And one of the definitions of an unreached people group is that they don't have access to the gospel. So I don't think Paul is saying, I've reached every single person in these areas. He's saying, I've established a church that can now reach out to those areas. So it's not that every person's reached, it's that there's a gospel center, there's Christian access somewhere that can spread out to the region. And so there's two designations. There's an unreached people group, which is less than 2% Christian, and then there's what's called an unengaged unreached people group. They call them UUPGs, which means there's not even access at all. Like, no one's there. If they wanted to know, they can't know. There's no one to tell them. And I think this is what he's getting at. I want to get to these unengaged, unreached people groups where they don't even know that they don't know. And that's kind of what we're supporting with TTI, those unengaged, unreached people groups. There's not even a church near them. There's not a Bible near them. So he's saying that's where he's going. It says, as written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. That's a quote from Isaiah 52:15. And the very last part of Isaiah 52 rolls into Isaiah 53, which is the servant description of the suffering servant. It's this amazing picture of the work of the Messiah to come and to bear our sins and to rise again. It's all in there. And he's saying, I'm going to those places that have never been told. Right? The servant song of Isaiah points to this idea of the gospel going to places it's never been. He says, this is the reason why I've been so often hindered from coming to you. Because I keep stopping at another group and I want to get there. Oh, found another group, so I can't ever quite get there. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as we get to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So there's kind of the Mediterranean world of Paul. The orange places are the coastal areas. I don't know if you can see Jerusalem would be in that bottom right. Do you see it in orange? He said, I've gone all the way around. So he's going up and over that way. Asia Minor, Greece, Macedonia, and then there's that Illyricum. So he's saying, I've worked this area, and I've planted churches and shared the gospel. There's people all the way there. So my next stop, he's like, I haven't jumped over to the boot, right? There's Italy. I haven't got over to the boot, to the Rome. And then, I know this map doesn't show it, but if you keep going, is Spain. He's like, I want to get all the way to the coast. I want to get all the way out there to Spain. I want to get there by helping you. So we just see this desire for reaching the unreached world, reaching people that have never heard. And that's what this whole, as I mentioned, the Timothy Initiative wants, a church in every village, everywhere. So people have access. They may or may not believe, but they have access. But it also puts it to us. It matters, people who have never heard. There's unreached in our community. There's unreached in your family. One of the unique things about the global world and immigration, there's people from unreached countries that come here. Some of them are seeking asylum. Some of them are seeking a better life. And so you can reach an unreached people group in Bellingham. And they may actually be able to go back to some of their homeland. So it's very, a very unique thing. So that's something we could say that matters, to reach people who've never heard. Okay, here we go. At present, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. So he's on it. At the time of this writing, he's going back to Jerusalem, back to his homeland, bringing this gift. And he's always had this heart for his people. We saw this in chapter 9. He says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He's saying, I'm so burdened for the Jewish people. Paul's a Jew, reaching the Gentile world, but he always goes to synagogues first. He's always burdened for the Jewish people to see Jesus as Messiah. And he says, I'm going back there. He's been warned when he goes back there, he's going to be arrested and tied up in jail. And he says, I'm going back anyway, because what matters most to Paul is that you never give up on family. I'm not giving up. So I'm going back there. They're going to be mad. They're going to beat me. You can read it in Acts chapter 21, 22. You can read the story. What happens when he goes there is, I'm not giving up. He said, I'd rather be cut off than to not go back. I just want to encourage some of you, don't give up on your family. Don't give up on praying for them. He's like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be abused by them. And I'm still going back. So some of you, this time of year, Thanksgiving is hard and you're missing family and families. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop being encouraged. Paul says, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop praying. We don't give up on family. And that's what he's doing. And he says, he goes on to talk about this contribution. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints of Jerusalem. So these are stops he's made. These are Gentile and Jewish churches. And they said, they actually are giving money for me to take back there, because there's poverty and poor and famine going on. So they're giving. He says they were pleased to do it. And then this unique line, indeed they owe it to them. Somebody's like, I don't like that. I want to give. I don't want to owe anybody. But here he gives the point. He says, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessing, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessing. So it's this, the idea that we benefit from the spiritual blessing of the Jews is that we do, right? We're the wild olive shoot grafted back in, we saw in chapter 11. Salvation comes from the Jewish people. Jesus is the fulfillment to the promises of Abraham. Jesus is Jewish, right? Paul is Jewish. All the writers of the New Testament are Jewish. We come up out of them. We're grafted in. So because we share in their spiritual heritage, he says we owe it to them to help them materially. Your very spiritual roots are struggling, then we can help them because that's where we come from. So then he says, when I've completed this, I'm going to bring it to them and then I'll leave for Spain by way of you. He's like, I still want to come see you. So he's giving these details. So what matters most in this bringing of an offering back to Jerusalem is that we're honoring our spiritual roots. He says, I'm honoring my spiritual roots, and he's having these churches honor their spiritual roots with a contribution. I think that's something we can enter into. We can still, to this day, honor our spiritual roots of Israel, and some of you do give. There's all kinds of ministries you can give to, I mean, not just since this war broke out, but even before that. Jews for Jesus, Chosen People Ministries are a couple of them. There's others you can give that are specifically sharing the gospel with the Jewish people, our spiritual roots, and but there's other ones. Some of you have spiritual roots. You can think of people who led you to Christ. And so you might say, this person led me to Christ, and maybe they're aged now and elderly. I'm going to help them. Some of you, it's a camp, right? How many of you met Christ at a camp? And you're like, I still send money to that place. That's my spiritual roots. That's where I found Christ. It's one of the reasons I love the Resonate at Western. That's where I went to college. And so the Resonate, if you don't know, Resonate's this beautiful outreach that's happening on Western's campus. There's a church planted on the campus. And so I went to Western, and I grew spiritually at Western. So I loved to go, yes, they're doing it up there. It's a whole new movement. It's different ministries than I was a part of. But I'm cheering for them. We're supporting them and coming around them in every way we can, because they're a source of my spiritual roots are there. And so we have those in your life, that we can bless those places that raised you up. We see that in Paul. All right, last stop. Verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Underline strive. It's contend, like battle. I wonder if sometimes my prayers are too wimpy. I mention things. I ask for things, I bring things up, but what if it's just striving and battling? We're going to get into prayer and just be pouring it out to the Lord. That's some of the imagery here. He says, I'm asking you to pray with me. He says that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. He knows some hard things could be coming. And that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. He's like, just make this help so much. so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. He's like, I just want to enjoy you too. He's like, so let me get to you so we can share, just like we get to share this morning in the fellowship and the faith of one another. And then he prays a blessing over them. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And so what matters most to Paul? Urgent prayer. He's like, I'm going into these places, but I need your prayer coverage. Prayer is so important. We're asking God to move on our behalf. We're asking God to work. It's contending prayer. Let me just urge you to be in his prayer as much as you can. You can pray on your own. You can pray. There's a group here every morning at 8:30. Love to have you come pray. We pray for everything that's about to happen. We have a prayer and worship night, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We're praying. This last week, we focused on praying for some persecuted believers who were in a place and their whole village was burned down. So we were contending in prayer. We were urgent in prayer. That's how God's moving. So I know that was a lot. Let me just summarize it. Who am I? We're a ministering priest by God's grace. We saw that in here. And then I put them all in a row, if you want to see them all in a row. What matters most is reminding what's important right here. It's important that Christ gets the credit. What matters most is that we're working by word and deed and the power of the Holy Spirit. They're all together. Reaching the unreached. Never give up on family. Honoring your spiritual roots. And urgent prayer. We saw all that kind of pour out in what was travel details and final details. You see his heart pouring out. And so I'll leave that there if you're still writing. But one thing that I had, you know, this just feels overwhelming. And so I was thinking the final thought of that it's not about the scope and the scale, but about the heart behind it. I personally have not been called to reach parts of, you know, Rome and Spain and plant churches around the world. Like Ryan personally has not been called, but Paul has been called. When the Lord Jesus called Paul, he was called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and kings and governors. He had this massive call. That's not the scope and the scale of my call. It's probably not the scope and the scale of your call, right? To be a wandering, traveling, tent-making evangelist to the known world. Right? That's pretty big. You go, yeah, I can't relate to this. We don't have the scope or the scale of his call, but we can have the heart of it. You can have the heart of being reminded of what's important. You can have the heart of Christ gets all the credit. You can have the heart of the word and the deed and the power of the Spirit. Even if you're called to reach 5 people on your swim team or whatever it is, right? You can have the same heart. You can have the same heart of reaching the unreached. Right? You might say, I got $10 and I'm sending it to the Timothy Initiative. You're part of reaching the unreached. You might not personally go. You might think, what's my $10 do? You saw in that video, people that never heard, it does something. It's got the heart of it. Not the scope or the scale, the heart. You can never give up on family. You might not have a whole nation of people who you're not giving up on, but you might have an individual. You can honor your spiritual roots. It could be your Sunday school teacher. It could be you see the heart of it? And we can all have the heart of urgent prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you put these things into us? We would have your heart. We would have this heart of Paul that's so focused on you. Lord, I just pray over the families here this week. Some will not be with family, and that will be hard. Some will be with family, and that might be harder yet. And some are missing family. So we just ask for your grace to fall on us during holidays that can have great things happen and also heartaches. We pray for you to be with those who are really longing for their loved ones to come to you or come back to you. Would you do a work there? Would you do a work in our spiritual roots in the land of Israel to let them see Jesus as Messiah and bring an end to that warfare? And Lord, we pray that you would indeed do mighty work through the Timothy Initiative. We pray that indeed your spirit would flow through here when the toy store is hosted in this place, that people would sense your love and generosity. Lord, put it in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.